Morning, everyone. So today's reading is Ephesians 2:11-22. So that's Ephesians 2, starting at chapter 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised, by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Jesus Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Should we pray again together just before we start? Okay. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open our eyes, that we'd see wonderful things in your word. We pray this morning that we would see Jesus and you. Help us in this, we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to just have a game of spot the difference first. Okay. I realise you at the back might be saying, I wish I'd gone to Specsavers, but all right, okay. This morning we're going to be trying to spot the difference, okay, trying to spot the difference between two groups of people and trying to spot the difference in what Jesus does. Okay, so I think they are, this is Peppa Pig, okay, this is Daddy Pig, this is Mummy Pig, and this is George. Okay. I'm discovering new TV programs all the time. And I'm not disappointed. Okay. All right, there's five differences in these pictures. If you can see one, shout it out. Sarah.
Daddy Pig is happy on the left and sad on the right.
Okay, there we are. There's one. Yeah, okay. Katie. There's a... Gavin. Oh, so she has. So she has. That's two. Three to go. Leona. Yeah. Yeah. Mummy Pig's got a cheek on this one. Okay. Three. Joel. Forgot. John. Pepper. Yeah. Okay. Pepper Pig's missing a hand. Okay. There's one more. There's one more. Naomi. Okay. End of game. Joel? Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's my mistake, actually, with the photocopying. Okay. There is six. Okay. Okay.
Peppa Pig's missing a nostril.
Yes, that's right. Peppa Pig's missing a nostril. Okay. There you go. There you go. That's just to warm you up to spot the difference. Okay. You were very good, weren't you? Okay. So we're going to move on to our Bible passage now. Okay. In our Bible passage, we meet two groups of people. Okay, we meet some people called no sound effects, please. Okay, we meet some people called the Gentiles. And the first sentence in our Bible reading says, "Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands." Okay, the Bible tells us two groups of people. One is the Gentiles, and the other is the circumcision. Later in our Bible reading, you'll notice that they are called citizens of Israel. Okay, the people of Israel. So we have two groups of people, Gentiles and the people of Israel. Okay? One is the nation of Israel and one is everybody else in the world. Okay. Circumcision is a little bit of skin cut off the male body, and that was a sign that you belonged to God. So that was one difference between the people of Israel and the Gentiles. And we're going to look at verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, that's going to come on the screen. All right. And I want you to spot what the other difference is between these two groups. It's not very difficult. But what are the differences between the Gentiles and the people of Israel? We can go back to Peppa Pig if you want. Okay, what's the first difference? John? Fantastic. They're separate from Christ, is that what you said? Okay. Ooh. What's next? Niall? That's right. See, it was so difficult, I didn't type it all out. They were excluded from Israel. Okay? Okay? Joe? Sorry? I can't. Without hope, okay? Okay, they're without hope. Okay, that's a clue that there's one in the middle. All right. Anyway, two more. Seth. Yep. Okay. The foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Okay, and one more. Joel. They're without God in the world. Okay. This is the Gentile people. Okay? God had... it's significant that they're not excluded into the nation of Israel because the nation of Israel belonged to God. God had committed himself to the nation of Israel and he'd given them laws, regulations and commands how to be near to God, how to have peace with God, and how to gain access with Him. And that was a promise at the beginning of the Bible, that in Genesis chapter 12, God said to Abraham, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse you. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." On the surface, you see, there's only going to be one great nation, okay, the people of Israel. So they were without hope. Although God had planned for these people to come into the people of God, they didn't know. They'd not heard that message. And so they were without God in the world. The people of Israel, they were able to have peace with God and access to God Himself. Okay, so there's spotting the difference between two groups of people, one nation and the rest of the world. And these two groups were hostile to each other. Apart from calling each other names, but there was a barrier between these two people. And the people of Israel often called these people dogs and considered them unclean. And if a man from Israel married a Gentile woman, his family would hold a funeral for him. They thought if someone married a Gentile, they were as good as dead. Okay, so now we're going to spot the difference that Jesus Christ makes to these two groups of people. I'm going to read again verses 13 to 18 of Ephesians chapter 2. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create with Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." You see, Jesus Christ is creating one humanity. We are told the Gentiles who are far away, without hope and without God, have been brought near. Secondly, we're taught the Gentiles who have been brought near to the groups have been made one. And we are taught that this is a new people, a new humanity, a new human race, new men and new women, new boys and new girls. Jesus is not bringing the Gentiles into the people of Israel. He's creating, so it's just my little illustration, but there you go. He's creating a new people. People that are one. Jesus Christ has done something far greater and far better, and He Himself is doing it. Jesus is making it possible for anyone, anywhere in the whole world, to have peace with God and to have access to God the Father. And it's all through what Jesus has done. Now, I don't want you to think that Jesus appears to bring a new idea here. Okay? I want you to know that this was God's plan from eternity. We read the promise that God gave to Abraham, and at the end it said, "All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And here is Jesus, a descendant of Abraham, a citizen of the people of Israel, bringing this blessing to the whole world. And the blessing is peace with God and access to God. Anyone from any nation can have a relationship with the living God. Jesus is fulfilling the promise that God gave to Abraham. Our title for today's talk is A Special Building. And we've seen that Jesus creates a new humanity, but we've not mentioned a building yet. Okay, so let me just read verse 19 onwards. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. A building built on a foundation. Jesus, the most important piece of that foundation, the cornerstone. A cornerstone is the largest stone set into the foundation of the building and important to all other stones laid in that building. And the rest of the foundations are the apostles and the prophets. They are the ones that reveal the mystery of Christ. The mystery that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. So here is this new people, built on the foundation of Christ Jesus. Built on this are Gentiles and the people of Israel. Last week we learned the building, the living stones, are those who have put their trust in Jesus, and we call it a church. Not forgetting that a building like this, made of blocks and bricks and stones, is not a church. A church describes the people of God gathered together. So remember, a church is made up of people. A church is a building built out of people. And the church is people joined together. We've seen how Jesus is bringing enemies together, Gentiles and the people of Israel, joined together on the foundation of Christ Jesus. And if you look around this morning, there's a fair few people here, all sorts of different people from various nationalities, various backgrounds, various ages, various temperaments, various preferences, that we've all been built together on one foundation, Jesus Christ. I wonder if you can spot any differences then in the meetings and the clubs that you attend. Maybe the football team, the running club, the jazz club, the snooker club, the girl guides, the scouts, walking club, whatever you belong to. I think you should be able to spot differences in the church, the people of God, and those clubs. Perhaps it's only boys or men that attend certain clubs. Perhaps you've got to be of a certain age. Perhaps you've got to have a certain skill to get into that club. But here, in God's people, in the church, everyone who puts their trust in Jesus is welcome from any nation in the world, from any age, and they are built together. But I think there's two things that should stand out here as a church, as we are built together on the foundation of Christ Jesus, and they are love and unity. We should desire these because this is what Jesus is achieving. He's achieving peace with God, with all kinds of people, with Gentiles and the people of Israel. He's achieving peace with God for all kinds of people because of God's great love for everyone. He's bringing unity as he is the foundation of the lives of his people. But most important, it's a place where God lives by his Spirit. Paul says the building rises to become a temple in the Lord. the church built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Okay, let's see if we can spot how did Christ Jesus make the difference to the human race. It can all seem a bit of a history lesson. It can seem a bit of a maths lesson, two becoming one. It could almost become a political message, couldn't it? Creating a new people, a new human race. But what's been achieved happened a long time ago. Jesus made this difference to the human race through his death on a cross. The sacrifices of the people of Israel, what God told them to do in the law with its regulations and commands, were repeated over and over and over again to maintain their peace with God and their access to God. But in Christ Jesus, his death, his sacrificial death, is sufficient to cover, to pay for, to remove the sins of the old human race. It's sufficient. It's enough to bring peace with God and access to him for eternity for his people. I've said our title this morning is A Special Building, not the blocks and bricks that we see, but each other joined together by Christ Jesus. The church is special because Christ died for it, bringing peace with God and giving access to the Father through the Spirit. The church is special because Christ died for it so that God could dwell with his people through his Spirit. This meeting is special because Christ died for it. Is it a special building for you? Is this gathering special to you? And that was a challenge put to me at Word Alive this year. And the challenge was the first thing you do on Monday morning is to plan to be at church on Sunday. And even the Wednesday meeting at the prayer meeting. Why? Because Christ died that we would be joined together and with himself. Christ died can be familiar words. They can trip off our tongues. We can lose the sense of what it cost Christ Jesus to bring peace for the human race to their Creator God. We can lose sight of the greatness of the achievement he won on the cross, bringing everybody together, offering the opportunity of peace and access to God the Father. Perhaps Jesus was aware of this as he told us his people to remember him through the eating of bread and drinking of wine. They give a picture of his death, the bread, his body given for us on the cross, and drinking the wine, his blood poured out for us. We're going to share that in a moment. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in his body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. We're going to share bread and wine together. We do this in unity, as one building joined together by Christ Jesus. And we share it in love. Love for one another and love for Christ Jesus. If you've put your trust in Christ Jesus, repenting and accepting for yourself his victory at the cross, if you can remember who you once were, separated from Christ, without hope and without God in the world, dead in your transgressions, but knowing God's great love for us, that in Christ Jesus we have been made alive, joined together with God's people, a new humanity. So let's share this bread and wine together, remembering Christ Jesus with thankful hearts, rejoicing in what he has done for us. And if you haven't put your trust in Christ Jesus, please pass the bread and wine on. This is a meal for those who have been built together as a temple in the Lord. But I ask you to consider him. Consider Jesus, who can reconcile you to God, who can bring you peace with God and bring access to God himself. Before we do that, we're going to stand and sing our next song, Behold the Lamb of God. who bears our sins away, slain for us.